It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship on the Worship and Wellness Broadcast of Torso. It's Tuesday, March 28th, and God is good. Psalm 118, 124, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And Psalms 122, verse 1, it says, I was glad. Can you say that? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Friends, we're in God's house because God's church, according to 1 Timothy 3:15, is the pillar and ground of the truth. So if you're upholding truth, you're part of God's church. It's time for our opening prayer. My wife, Andrea, will take us to the throne of grace.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you for your loving watch care of our lives throughout the night. And now we pray that your spirit will come and teach us this morning the things we need to know. Give us fresh manna from heaven as you anoint the words of our pastor and fill him with your spirit. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about time.
Amen. We're studying the Gospel in Hebrews chapter 2. The Gospel in Hebrews chapter 2. My friends, let's pray. Dear Father, be with us today. We thank you very much for your love. We just extol you. We honor you. We speak of your majesty. We glorify you. And we pray that you will bless us as we study the word. Please, Lord, bring out that which is needful for us to understand truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Hebrews chapter 2, therefore we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Now, brothers and sisters, the Bible in so many different ways lets us know we have a work to do. There is a theme out there that has come into Christianity, been out there for a long time, and I'll tell you why it's there. It's there simply because they don't want you to think that it's necessary to keep the Sabbath. So they have truly thrown out the baby with the bathwater. In other words, the whole doctrine that you don't have to keep the law came simply because they don't want to obey one of the laws, which is the fourth commandment, which says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gate. That one commandment is one of 10 commandments, and that's the same 10 that says thou shalt have no other gods. Thou shalt not worship idols. Thou shalt not take the name in vain. You've got the fourth commandment, which is the Sabbath. You've got honor thy father and thy mother. You've got thou shalt not kill. Don't steal. Don't commit adultery. Don't bear false witness. And don't covet. Now, you don't have any Christian. Well, no, it's crazy today. But generally speaking, the major churches aren't telling you it's all right to sleep with somebody else's wife. Okay, the major churches aren't telling you, Christian churches, Protestant churches, that it's okay to bow down to idols. They're not telling you it's all right to kill. Okay, so the bottom line is the only one that they've walked away from is the Sabbath. But what you don't, what most people don't understand is the Sabbath was before there was ever a Jew. So you can't use the argument that that was for the Jews, because the Sabbath came at creation for us, at creation. The Bible says in Genesis 2, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day and blessed the Sabbath day and sanctified it. Okay, I mean, I get everything, have gotten everything right, but it makes it very clear he sanctified the seventh day. That is a holy piece of time, the seventh day of the week, starting in the evening of the previous, because the Bible says in the evening and the morning was the first day, the evening and the morning was the second day, the evening and the morning. And then you'll find in Matthew chapter 28, verse 1, and at evening, or at even, it says, when the sun did set, then they came. So the point being made is that the setting of the sun represents the biblical day, and that is sunset on Friday to sunset on Saturday is the holy time of the Sabbath. That was before there was a Jew. That was even before sin, okay? So they're lying to you, okay? When they are telling you, you don't have to keep the Sabbath. So why am I saying that? This first verse says, therefore we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. The devil wants you to let the truth slip, then you just go and follow the crowd, okay? Following the crowd is not allowed, my friends, if you want to be saved in the kingdom of heaven. Notice what it says, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast in every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? In other words, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So how are we going to escape if we neglect so great salvation? Now, if salvation is something you can neglect, it didn't say reject, it said neglect. That means once saved, always saved cannot be in the Bible. Because once I'm saved, I've already done it. I don't have anything else to do. I don't have anything else to keep up with. I don't have anything else to memorize. I don't have to be diligent about anything. You see, salvation is not just something you can reject. It's something you can neglect. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? That means salvation is not just forgiveness. It is victory over sin included. But that's what God gives us. You don't have it on your own. The gospel is not a promise of pardon only. It is a promise of power. And if you have power, there's no excuse for sin because you have the power to overcome sin. You see? So, you know, the gospel is in every chapter of the Bible. We're going to call these verses, chapters, these messages, the gospel in Hebrews 2. For the word, it says, how shall we escape if we neglect? You see? So, 1 John 5:4, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. It didn't say you're forgiven of the things you did in the world only. That happens. But you're overcome it, friends. And see, that's why they have to teach that you can't obey. They teach that lie because they have just watered down the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can overcome. I don't care if you're a crack addict. Give your heart to the Lord, and you will start seeing God work in your life. And it might be a little bit at a time, seemingly, but you give God an opportunity to take control of your life, and crack will be in the back, okay? Crack will be in the back. It won't even be in your life anymore. There is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that, make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. So the bottom line, my brothers and sisters, is Hebrews teaches us we can neglect our salvation. It says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak, but one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man, that thou art mindful of him, and the Son of Man, that thou visitest him? That's David. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. We've been given dominion, my friend. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. That's because the devil came and took our place. He is now the prince of the power of the air, the Bible says. So through Christ, we will get this world back, okay, through his redemption. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Jesus suffered for us, my friend. He came down from heaven's glory and majesty and lived a life as a human being. You can't stop being God, but in his frame and flesh, he's human now. And we can't fully understand that, so don't try. The Bible says, great is the mystery of God. I think that's 1 Corinthians 3:16. God came in the flesh. So we don't understand it. We can't fully comprehend it, but we can understand that it happened. Christ became one of us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, the Bible said, and we beheld his glory in John chapter 1, verse 14. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. So, friends, if you're suffering, take an opportunity to grow in Christ, because that's the only reason why God allows it. If God is behind it, if he allows it, he's trying to help you get closer to him. Sometimes because of worldliness and pride and selfishness, we have to suffer in order to be humble. Some of us have a harder time at that than others, and I'm here to tell you, if you're suffering, ask God to help you be humble at all times. Ask for his humility. You might overcome your sickness, okay? Because sometimes God has to keep us humble, and because we won't humble ourselves, some of us, it's hard. And that thing called pride, brothers and sisters, it's not all based on arrogance. Some people have a self-consciousness about their own abilities, and if those abilities are ever called into question, and not even intentionally, but somebody might make a suggestion or ask a question, and then that question, they think that their abilities or their knowledge base is being called into question. Why would you ask me that? Well, I just might have wanted to know. That's all. I'm not questioning who you are and what you know and all that, but you ask some people some questions, and why do you ask me that question? You know, don't you think I know? You see, we got a lot of pride, brothers and sisters, and we don't even see it. So God is trying to help us. He's telling you. He's telling you what to do. He's telling you that these sufferings are to perfect you. If we humble ourselves, then we might not have to suffer. Okay, now, did I say that that's in every case and that every suffering is the result of your lack of humility? No, but through it all, God is still working to help us get closer to him. All right, and I think all of us can say that when we're flat on our back, we look up more. Can we say amen? For both he that sanctifieth and he that are sanctified, and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. So Christ is our brother, saying, I will declare my name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I am the children of God, which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. I like this verse. That's Hebrews 2:14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, okay, listen carefully. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, are we his children? Yes. Do we have flesh and blood? Yes. Just as much as I'm a man, he also likewise himself took part of the same. He is a man, 100%, not 50%, not 75%, not 95.9%, not 99.99999%. Christ is 100% a man, just like me. But he can't stop being God, and that's the beauty of the mystery. That through death, let's see, watch this. Bible says, when I get his mind, I'm a partaker of a divine nature, having escaped the corruption which is in the world through lust. Amen? So God is good. So I'm not God, but I can partake his divine nature. Amen. And delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. That means he was not in the nature of Christ at Adam's level. He was in the nature of Christ as one of the seed of Abraham. In other words, he took our fallen nature, not the perfect nature that he created in Adam. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Now, he says he had to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. That means that the atonement can't be done at the cross because Christ did not become our great high priest until after he had died on Calvary. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. He had to die first before he would be able to succor them, in other words. So, my friend, just dealing with some people recently, lovely people, but they're confused. They don't believe what they used to believe about the Sabbath, about many things. And I just, you know, all I can say is I understand how they're wrong and what they did with their interpretation of the scriptures to be wrong. But, you know, the atonement wasn't done at the cross because it just said, as a high priest, he's making reconciliation for the sins of the people. So we're going to be continuing talking about the gospel in the book of Hebrews. May God bless you. It's time now for us to have our closing prayer for the worship segment, and then we'll be back with our wellness segment. So we're going to be talking about how to avoid dementia. So you definitely want to be there for that. We take about an 8-minute break while we listen to the torso song. Take care of yourself. Get some refreshments, whatever. Drink some water. And we'll be back in about 8 minutes by the grace of God.
There's a one-of-a-kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are his natural chemo. Escape to the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon. Enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When our door, we will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine and pop? You can break every chain, your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Sorso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to earth. Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see.
Amen, brothers and sisters. It's time now for us to talk about how to avoid dementia. How to avoid dementia. I'm going to put a link real quickly in the comments. Let me see if I can get this thing to type right. Okay. Right. Give me a second here. First of all, it's slash. Okay. Just a second. All right, friends. Got it. We're going to talk about how to avoid dementia. And let me get you some of these conditions. You know, when I was growing up, we didn't really speak about dementia. We just heard about Alzheimer's. But, you know, we're going to look at what is dementia. And you'll notice it from the Alzheimer's website, the Alzheimer's Association website. Dementia is a general term for loss of memory, language, problem solving and other thinking abilities that are severe enough to interfere with daily life. Alzheimer's is the most common cause of dementia. So now you understand it. Dementia is just a general term that describes the loss of mental function. Alzheimer's is the most common cause of dementia. So Alzheimer's, dementia, you're pretty much, for the most part, talking about the same thing. All right, that being said, how do we avoid that? So one of the things I'll tell you is that they found collections of aluminum in the brain of people with Alzheimer's slash, therefore, for the most part, dementia. And that's why you need to get rid of aluminum cookware. Don't cook with aluminum pots. Now, you can have something that has maybe a coating over it, that has some kind of stainless steel coating over it or something, but you want to get stainless steel pots. Just don't get aluminum cookware. You don't want to let aluminum foil be touching your food. If you have parchment paper, if you're going to bake something in the oven, put parchment paper that's touching the food, then put aluminum foil over that for whatever you need it for, its heat distribution or whatever aluminum foil is good for in situations like that. You know, people cook their lasagnas and all this kind of stuff, and this, you know, when they're catering in this aluminum cookware and pieware and all this kind of stuff. Put some parchment paper down first. But if you got it, you know, those disposable aluminum type things, put some parchment paper. Then put your lasagna or whatever you have in there so that the aluminum is not touching the food. There is aluminum also in baking, I believe, powder, unless you get an aluminum-free baking powder. Some people mistakenly think aluminum is in baking soda. It's not. It's in baking powder. But that's not to say that we should consume baking soda on a general basis. We use it sometimes in a specialized remedy for cancer, but that's because it's a remedy, and it's very alkaline, so we have to quickly alkalinize the system. But the bottom line is, as a general rule, we don't use baking soda in our food, okay? That being said, brothers and sisters, let's get rid of aluminum. That's important. Watching TV, the mind doesn't tend to get used to exercise and think when you're watching TV, okay? So when things in modern society take over and the brain doesn't have to think, it begins to deteriorate. They did a study and found out that people who use GPS, guess what? I use GPS. People who use GPS, they can tend to get dementia faster than those who read a map. So what I would suggest is this. I'm not saying it's wrong to use GPS, and I still use it, but when I found that out, I do sometimes try to turn my GPS off for places that I've been to repetitively, and I will try to say, or I might turn it down and not let it just keep talking to me and try to figure out for myself. Then I might look at it just to check to see, am I doing it right? And sometimes even if you make a mistake, that's good. That rivets in your mind. Oh, I don't want to make that mistake. I turned too early. So things that, you know, can exercise the mind. Television just kind of enraptures you, and you don't, you know, tend to, particularly dramas, you don't. If you're going to watch, it's better to watch more documentaries, which are generally, you know, people talking and describing things, so on and so forth. Your typical TV where the actors are acting, so on and so forth, that tends to weaken your mental faculties, okay? And now I'm going to give you the big bombshell, what you need to do to keep your mind active. Memorize scripture. Memorize scripture. Well, I can't memorize scripture. Yes, you can. If you have to memorize two words at a time, for God, just keep saying it, for God, for God, for God, for God, for God, for God. Then add so loved, for God, so loved, so loved, so loved, for God, so loved, for God, so loved, for God, so loved, the world. And you just keep going, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Before it's all over, you'll be able to rattle it off and just keep memorizing it over and over again. When you're sitting on the toilet, when you're riding on the bus, when you're just taking a walk, memorize scripture. If you have flashcards, use flashcards. If you have a phone and you just want to pull up the scripture from your phone. But the point being made is memorize scripture. Everybody can do it. Some can do it faster than others, but everybody can memorize scripture, friends. And if you start memorizing scripture, and I can't tell you where to start. I can't say start in John, start in Peter. You let God lead you. But you find a scripture that you like, that's meaningful to you, and memorize scripture. Then try to memorize, like, several scriptures, even where it's a chapter. I remember as a child, we had to memorize 1 Corinthians 13. We had to memorize Psalm 91 and other chapters. And so start your children younger. But even, I don't care if you are a senior citizen, memorize scripture. It will keep your mind from deteriorating, okay? And so most people just don't use their mind, and the mind, like if you don't use your arm, you keep it in a sling, 6 months you won't even be able to raise your arm, because if you don't use it, you'll lose it. And again, the things of the world, television and all these things, they tend to weaken the mind. But if you memorize scripture, friends, it keeps your mind active and it will keep you from developing dementia. So let's make sure our bodies are free from toxins, because those toxins affect the brain. Like aluminum, that's one of those toxins. And I would say that it's probably wise for us all to take some diatomaceous earth. Diatomaceous earth is basically purified dirt that comes from fossilized areas, but they found that it helps pull heavy metals out of your body. And so you can get that from our torso website, by the way, diatomaceous earth. I should have brought a bag up. I didn't bring that. But you can get diatomaceous earth off of our website. I think at this present time it's $15.95. That's for a pound. It's not expensive at all. And diatomaceous earth, very, very important that you get diatomaceous earth, okay? Take a teaspoon once a day. After that, take a teaspoon twice a day after a few days, and then you can work that thing up to tablespoons, one or two a day. Just keep working up slowly. But it goes into your body. It helps clear out things like candida and parasites and heavy metals as well. Try while you're there looking up the super tonic superfood. It has chlorella in it, and that will help you well. So the bottom line, my brothers and sisters, is get the right things in to get the right toxins out. I did put a link in here for a product that helps get oxygen to the brain and nutrition to the brain. It's our Brain Health Herbal Extract, Brain Health Herbal Extract, okay? Mm-hmm. And you can pick that up. I put the link in the comments on Facebook. But if you are on the call, just go to torso.org and look for Brain Health in the shop. Everything is alphabetical, so it's one of the first products. And there's a search box, so you can actually search brain. If you search brain, you'll actually see it. Just scroll down. Be aware that sometimes it's going to search everything in the database, so it may show you, you'll click it, and it's just a picture. It's nothing to buy because it's the picture we put up. But if you go back and you do it again, you scroll down where it says Brain Health Herbal Extract, and you see some paragraph text, click that heading. And that will open up the product page for the Brain Health Herbal Extract. It's got herbs like ginkgo, gotu-kola. Those things add oxygen to the brain and bring nutrition to your brain. One of the things people don't do enough, and that's drink water. You're going to have more dementia if you don't drink water. You'll have more dementia if you eat more animal products. You'll have more dementia if you eat more sugar. So let's eat a plant-based diet, whole food. Don't overdo it on the sugary things. It keeps your mind from being clear. All right, friends, that's our message for today. We're going to go to the sharing and caring time from our dear brother Isaac, all the way from the ancient city of Athens, Greece. Hello, my brother. Greetings from the city, ancient city of Athens. God bless you for the ministry. Praise God for you. And we have Sister Angela there on, so that puts us South Carolina also on Facebook. And on the call, we have Ohio represented, Maryland. We have Delaware and Delaware again. We have Ohio. We have Georgia. And we have the island of Bermuda. My wife was telling me about what's going on in Israel. We need to keep that in prayer, brothers and sisters. And it's so amazing Christians still believe, the majority of Christians believe, that there's something special that's going to happen in Israel. And they have it all wrong. Those scriptures are most likely talking about the New Jerusalem in heaven that will come down when they read about the glory of the future in Israel. My friends, there's no glory in a future in a place. The Bible says, them that honor me, I will honor. Those that despise me, I will lightly esteem. God is not going to do anything special over there in Israel. They killed the Savior of the world. So that's a wrong concept. Jesus isn't coming through that. The Antichrist, all that whole secret rapture stuff. And there's an Adventist version of that, brothers and sisters. It's called the Shepherd's Rod. They believe that that David is going to set up a kingdom, literal David, who died, is going to set up a kingdom over there, and that his people, the faithful ones, the 144,000, are going to be kind of like, Star Trek beamed over there. And the rest of the Adventist people are not going to be alive, and there'll be time for the gospel to go to the Gentiles. It's a whole Adventist version of the secret rapture concept, But anyway, God is merciful, God is good, and we thank God for the truth. All right, friends, it's time now to open the phone lines. If anyone has any comment or question, please feel free. We have about 18 minutes to the top of the hour, and we have Sister Desiree on the line. We'll go ahead and take her call. If there's anyone else, just press *6. And if there's anyone on Facebook, just please feel free to type any comment or question you have. Good morning, Sister Desiree.
Good morning. Right when you were saying everyone sees something special about Israel, literally the volume went out. Can you tell me what you said, if you can recall?
Sure. So basically, Israel's having laws that you can't preach Christ. So that's how we started. And my wife was telling me that because she was keeping up with it. And we were just discussing that during the intermission. It brought to my mind the fact that most evangelicals and many Baptists and others, they believe that something special is going to happen in Israel. They believe the 144,000 is literal Israel. So that's why you hear them speaking, Christians speaking positively about our relationship with Israel. And they would favor Israel over Islam, and neither of them are Christian nations, okay? But they would definitely favor Israel over Islam because they believe that the Bible teaches that special things are going to come out of Israel, and they have it all wrong. That was not talking about the future on this earth. There is a new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. And so some of the verses in the Bible are pointing forward to that entity. But it's not literal Israel over in Palestine. There's nothing special that's going to happen there. There's nothing. It's a big lie. It's a big smoke screen because it takes away from the truth. We are Israel. It's God's people that are Israel, spiritually are Israel. The Gentiles are part of Israel, according to Romans chapter 11. So it's a big smokescreen and focus on Israel, literal Israel. And, there's a lot of doctrines tied to it, secret rapture, Antichrist, all those kinds of things. And I'm not remembering exactly how everything's tied together, but it's not based on truth.
Do you think that's just simply because of interpretation of the scripture, not understanding the scriptures fully?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so, First Samuel 2:30, it ends by saying, them that honor me, I will honor. Those that despise me will be lightly esteemed. The Jews despise Christ. Why would he bless them with something great in the last days? That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
Okay. I do remember, and just one more thing, this is it, something about, when the New Jerusalem comes, like somewhere is coming down in that area physically, but it's not going to touch the earth. Do you recall that? Do you know what I'm talking about in that sense?
Yes, and it is vague, and I don't have an answer. It seems like there's a particular mountain that the Bible might mention. I need to look that up after the broadcast because there is, I believe, a particular mountain mentioned. But if that is the case, but see, that's when New Jerusalem comes down, you see, that mm-hmm. and touching the earth, that's at the very end.
Right.
In other words, Jesus right. will have already come. There would have been 1,000 years. All those people over there in Palestine that didn't accept Jesus Christ, Jews included, they'll be dead for 1,000 years, their corpses laying on the ground. That's when the devil is bound with a chain. It's a chain of circumstances because he can't deceive anybody because there's nobody to deceive. The righteous living, the righteous dead are resurrected. They're in heaven. The wicked dead stay dead except for that small group that rose up that pierced him. The Bible speaks of that in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. And then the wicked living are destroyed by the brightness of his coming. That's 2 Thessalonians 2, and you'll see that also in Revelation 6 where they ask the rocks to fall on them. So there's nobody for him to bother. All the righteous are in heaven and all the wicked are dead. For 1,000 years, the devil's going to mope around with his angels and accuse each other and blame each other and fight each other and think about all the stuff that they did. And during that time, God Christ with us will be sentencing the devil, his angels, and every person that is lost. We will sentence. God will choose a jury of our peers. And so we will sentence them. Then, after that period is over, the saints with Christ come down in the holy city. And then God raises the dead. And that's why the Bible gives the scripture that says that there's one scripture that says that we will all, every knee, it says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There's only one time in the whole possible time period of human history or even future history, if I can use the term future history, of future time, there's only one moment of time that everybody, wicked and righteous, at the same time would be alive. That would be when God raises the wicked after the 1,000 years to receive their sentence. Okay? Mm-hmm. And that is when all of us collectively will bow and say, Jesus Christ is Lord. Then the devil will say, okay, but what do we have to lose? He's going to pull up Hitler. He's going to pull up Mussolini, assuming that they are not saved. He's going to pull up King Saul, all these mighty warriors from different time periods, and he's going to say, listen, we can take this city, or if we don't, we're going to die. And he's going to try to take the city. And when that happens, fire's going to come down from God out of heaven. That's the beginning of the hellfire punishment. Hell's not burning right now. I know you know that, Sister Desiree, but a lot of people don't, so we're just using it as a teaching moment. But anyway, that's it. So thank you for that, Sister Desiree. I'm going to look that up to see if it names the mountain. But if there would be any significance over there, it would be that there may be a place designated where the city comes down, but that's after. And even that mountain is going to be leveled. It's going to be taken away. A new heaven and a new earth will be.
I just don't know where that is and like to know.
Yeah, but, you know, see, when Christ comes the second time, he's not going to touch the earth.
Right.
And then when New Jerusalem comes down, I need to just look that up. But anyway, it will make them feel that they have access to the city. So the Bible may give us the actual location where that's going to go. But anyway, that's my statement there. I will definitely look that up. You have given me a little homework assignment.
Have mercy. Mm-hmm. So after this earth becomes anew from the burning, because Christ is returning it to what he originally stated, correct? Back mm-hmm. to what Adam and Eve before they had sinned. And will New Jerusalem be here on the earth, or is it still like we traveling back and forth? But it's still to the new earth. It'll be the new earth renewed back to Adam and Eve state. So it's not like necessarily we're going to be in heaven forever and ever, but the earth will be restored back to the state that he intended to be before Adam and Eve sinned. Am I correct on that?
Yes. The Bible says that I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. That's starting the first verses of Revelation chapter 21. I was even trying to just scan through that while I was listening to you to see if it mentioned the particular location. But anyway, we'll see. I'm not sure if I'll find it. And I'm not sure if it's there. It's vague when you mention that. It said, okay, well, there may be a location.
Right.
So I'm not sure if it mentions it, but I'm just saying something's vague and I need to research it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, I'm going to let you go in case someone else wants to say something.
All right, my dear sister. God bless you. God bless you.
You too.
I'm looking in Revelation 21, and I don't see a particular location mentioned there, but we'll see how the Lord leads in our reading.
Because I actually heard that before when I came into the church, but I never actually read it. But I did. You know, that would be mentioned often when I came in to the message.
Amen. I'm going to do a little research on it. It's kind of vague. I can't say it does mention it, but there's something in the back of my mind, a vagueness there, and we need to just clear up that vagueness. How about that?
Okay, sure. No worries.
All right. Yeah. God bless you.
You too. God bless you.
Thanks. All right, my brothers and sisters, thank you all for sharing. There's no one else in the queue. We'd like to thank you all for your support, your prayers. Torso Ministry is a full-time ministry. And if you would like to support, keep us in prayer. We're striving to get the word out. You know, everybody has a calling. There are some ministries that are called. And as the Bible says that Peter was an apostle to the Jews, Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles. I can tell you, but Paul helped the Jews and Peter helped the Gentiles. But the point being made is they had a focus in their ministry, and our ministry is to tell this message to the world, not so much to preach to those who have had opportunity to learn these things. So the bottom line is, and what do I mean by that? What I mean by that is you won't have me, we don't spend a whole lot of time in talking about the deficiencies of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, for example, because we're trying to reach people who have not even a clear understanding of the Sabbath. Some are called more to share those things, and we're not saying there's anything wrong with that. Some people believe it is. I don't. I believe that some people are primarily apostles to the Jews, and some people are apostles to the Gentiles. I'm not an apostle, but the principle is God has called Torso to spread the word. But we're here to teach you the word of God, my friend, and I hope you are blessed by the ministry. So if you are, you'd like to support, you can do so on our website. You can do so by writing to us at Torso Ministry, Post Office Box 208. That's Curtisville, Pennsylvania 15032. If you'd like to contact me and use other methods like Zelle or Cash App, that type of thing, we can let you know. It will be transferred properly to the ministry. You will get a tax-deductible receipt, and the work moves forward. God bless you. For those of you who haven't gotten it yet, we will, and I need to call somebody about that, that I forgot to call yesterday. I apologize. I'll get back with you on the book. Somebody talked to me about they didn't get their book yet. We have to see if it got shipped. But they get shipped media mail, so it does take a few days, but it's usually not as long as it was, first class or priority. But nonetheless, God is good. Go to biblicalbooster.org, biblicalbooster.org, and pick up your copy of the Biblical Booster. Put in torso 15 if you'd like to save $15 as we're trying to get it out there in distribution with the help of God. Thank you very much, my brothers and sisters. It's time for our closing prayer. My wife on the radio will take us to the throne of grace.
Okay, Jimmy, just a second.
Okay. While she's getting ready, I'll just mention to you all that we have a WhatsApp list. It's a WhatsApp is a messaging program. It's international. And if you'd like to be on that list where we make announcements, please let me know. You have to download the app from your Google Play Store, I guess, if you have an Android, or from the App Store if you have Windows, if you have Mac or iOS. And we send messages there. You can also go to torso.org, and you should be able to sign up for our email there, and we do send out occasional emails to let people know what's going on.
Okay, alrighty. I would suggest that answer. I believe it's given in Great Controversy, chapter 42, and I would suggest that Sister Desiree read the Great Controversy, chapter 42, and she should be able to find her answer there. I think Zechariah 14 also mentions something about the Mount of Olives, and I don't know if how all that ties in, but I vaguely remember that being the mountain that I've always heard where it would the New Jerusalem would return to. So I would just say take a look at that and definitely read Great Controversy 42. It does talk about how things are going to be after when the Great Controversy is ended, and you'll be able to certainly find your answer in that chapter. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, loving Lord, we thank you for this time to come together for worship, and we thank you for the fellowship that has been offered as well. We now pray that you will be with us. Continue to let your Spirit lead us, guide us, direct us, and instruct our lives. Help us to be faithful to you, Lord, and to do all we can to co-labor with you in your harvest. We know the time is short. We see that our time, even for persecution, is just right around the corner. And we know that soon as soon, this world is going to go into a great time of trouble. Help us, Lord, to be prepared. And for those that will not make it through that time, Lord, we pray that every heart has been surrendered fully to you. We pray that you will help us to be healed spiritually, mentally, physically, even emotionally. These are really difficult times that we're in, and they're getting more and more difficult daily as your second coming is drawing near. Help us, Lord, to depend slowly upon you and not upon the resources of this world. Help us not to have any attraction to this world, but rather see it as being dark and gross. And help us, Lord, to think about heavenly things, about what the paradise earth is going to be like, about what heaven is going to be like when you redeem us, and how we'll be able to see you face to face, to hear you sing to us, to hear you speak to us, be able to feel you, to hug you, Lord. We need to think about those things and keep our minds on the pleasant and beauty and glory of heaven. Help us, Lord, to be a people that can rejoice in just the thoughts and the imaginations of what it's going to be like to be with you. We pray that you will forgive us for our sins. Help us, Lord, to be cleansed of all unrighteousness and to be made perfect into the image of our soon-to-come King, Jesus Christ. For it is in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now, undreamed of. God bless you.
Amen. Our closing song is I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust.